Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord, even though it's overcast. We needed a little bit of rain. I think we're going to get it. Going to get some more rain. Let the rain pour. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We live our lives in God's created universe and are so grateful to God for all the many blessings and gifts that we receive. And I'm grateful for you. I'm glad that you are here to worship and praise together. We're in God's house today, and we feel grateful to be in God's house today. Amen. I'd like us to greet one another with the peace of Christ, your neighbors, the person next to you, in front of you, and behind you. Extend the blessing of peace to your neighbor. Peace be with you.
Bob Seymour, I am a lay servant, and I am also welcome to serve God, or pleased to serve God this morning. If you will join me in the announcements for today, we have a few that's not in your bulletin or on the board. November the 23rd today, Sunday, gift cards for Christmas for the United Methodist Children's Home are being accepted. They can be for Walmart, Target, Best Buy's. Put them in the offering plate. Betty, have we got a deadline on this?
I have to go down on the 10th of December.
Okay. The Sunday before the 10th? I'm trying to think when the...
December 7th.
December 7th to be a deadline on getting the gift cards in, and they can be from Walmart, Target.
And Best Buy. I'm here Monday night at prayer, so you can Monday get work.
Okay. I'm wondering, did you get just cash cards also last year?
You can use cash cards, but you have to pay for them, and I don't want them to have to pay for something that you don't have to, you know. So, yeah, they're very welcome, especially.
Okay. Annette, you have an announcement? One other announcement, being the working in the sound room and stuff, didn't want to interrupt last week, but this is very important. We actually record this onto the computer that streams out. So when you're making announcements or stuff, the more recording we get of you, the better people can hear you on the computer and stuff when they're following. Likewise, we stream it to the nursery and the fellowship hall. So if you use the microphones, please. Paid political announcement by me. commitment cards, whatever that is. If you did not get an opportunity to fill this out and turn it in last week, we have them on the table in the back for you to pick up and fill out and put in the offering plate. So please take the opportunity to fill out your pledge cards for this year, or actually for next year. Okay, and most of us know that there is a pictorial directory being planned for and pictures taken and so forth. If you did not get your picture taken, you can get your picture taken by Larry Rood or Jamie Stowers if you'll just let either one of them know, and a cost of $10, they'll take your picture and that will get submitted into the church directory. So your picture will be in the church directory. Now most of you know if you have a picture already, you can submit that picture also, right? To get into the directory. Still costs $10 to get into a directory.
Yeah, $10 is not for us. It's what the Life Touch requires in order to accept a photo.
Okay.
But they did not pay.
Life Touch requires the $10 to put it into the directory because they did not take the picture. So Larry and Jamie are not taking me out for lunch. Okay, Ron or the pastor announcement?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
On behalf of the Staff Parish Relations Committee, I'd like to thank all of you who have contributed toward the love offering for our staff for this coming Christmas. And we will continue to accept contributions, donations toward that for the next 2 weeks, today and the next two Sundays. We will end those contributions, those donations, as of December 7th, so that the staff can receive those gifts from all of you in a timely manner before Christmas. So thanks again, and those of you who haven't, please pray and contribute as your heart leads. Thank you.
Bob, I have one.
Okay.
For those of you who showed up for yesterday morning breakfast, thank you. We appreciate anybody that does show up. For those of you who didn't show up, we missed you. We opened this up as a church-wide breakfast to bring fellowship back in, you know, into the church where you don't have to do any cooking. Next month's breakfast, December, is on the 13th. It's a little bit of change to our normal date, and it's in conjunction with the Christmas with breakfast with Santa for the kids. So please mark your calendars, make plans, come up, and enjoy a breakfast.
The 13th of next month. Joining the Advent study groups by signing up in the foyer. They started today and last Thursday. Well attended on Thursday, I've heard. So if you'd like to get into the
Christmas, not your birthday.
I attended the class this morning and forgot the title already. But it was a good class. I really enjoyed the first session. So come and join into each one of these groups as you have the time and can. Okay, Christmas open house at the Parsonage, Saturday, December the 13th, 2 to 5 p.m. It says Bob is the only one welcome. Or, no? It's a three-letter word. Oh, all is welcome. December the 13th, 2 to 5. And all is welcome. It's three letters. Okay. Do I need my glasses? Yes. I have one of them in right now.
Yeah.
Extra glasses for me.
going to need those back just a minute.
Thanks to everyone who cares about me. Salty service cards are in the pew. If you've done a good deed for someone outside the church during the week, please take this and lay it in the pew. There's no place to sign it. It just lets us have a count of how many good deeds our members are doing throughout the week. And also the conference likes to tally that. It's one of those totals we send to the conference. Prayer cards, prayer requests, and also prayer reports, praise reports on the back. If you have a prayer need, please take the time to fill this out. We will be praying over it in our prayer warriors on Monday night and other times. Likewise, if you have, and we had a request last week, that we take time to fill out the praise report on the back of how that prayer is going or has gone. And the folder in front of you, the black folder, has the registration. Please take time to fill out your attendance here this morning. Do we need to continue to ask for addresses?
Well, just for the, just until the directory comes out.
Okay. So would you please also, as you fill out the registration pads, give us your complete address, name, address, phone number, and email if you have it. So all that can be matched up and corrected and put in the church directory appropriately. If you will join me now in the worship elements for this morning. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Last day to sign up for the progressive dinner. The forms are in the back. It was showing up here earlier, so please take part of that. Take part in that. Okay. If you will join me now in the worship elements. It is harvest time. God is gathering us in. God has planted seeds in us, and now is time is ripe.
Come, let us celebrate and rejoice in what God is doing in us.
God has plans for us, plans for a future with hope.
Come, let us rejoice in God's leading at harvest time. Let us share our gifts for the glory of God.
Amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 368, we'll sing My Hope is Built.
Thank you.
turn to page 881, we'll do our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In a second, and I'm going to ask you to tell me what it is, but I'm going to show the congregation first. They're going to get a picture of it before you do, so I'm going to come right through here, and I'm going to go up one side, down the other, and show you this picture. And don't tell them if you think you know what it is. Don't tell them. Far be it for me to forget the ushers here, back there. Take a look and see. That sounds like a game show tune. See what it is? All right.
What about us?
Oh, yep, the choir needs to take a look. You saw through the back of it? All right, now you can look at it. Tell me what it is. What is it, sweetie? It is. It's a picture. But what is it a picture of? What is it, Alana? You see a face. Way to go. I knew you could see it. How many of you spotted the face in here? Oh, not very many of you.
Let me see it again.
Let you see it again. Two eyes. A nose and a mouth. This is a face. This is a collage made by a friend of mine by the name of Jan Richardson. She's an artist and pastor. And the title of this picture is this Christ in the Scraps. These are scraps of paper left over from artwork that she had done. And she used these scraps to make a picture of the face of Jesus. That's the two eyes, the nose, and then the mouth here at the bottom. That's the face of Jesus. Now, the reason I picked that picture is because it's sometimes hard to see the face of Christ in people. But the scripture passage talks today about we see Christ's face in people in need in the world. That all of those people need, who may be going hungry, who may be going homeless, who may be in prison, all of those people are the face of Christ to us. But it's sometimes difficult to see Christ's face. But Christ is in all of us. We have the picture of Christ, if you will, in all of our lives. But we can't always see it in other people. And our challenge is to see Christ in our brothers and sisters, to see Christ in those who are homeless, to see Christ in those who are hungry and thirsty and in prison and sick. All of those people that we sometimes have difficulty with, maybe they're not our friend, maybe they might even be an enemy, but guess what? God says that the face of Christ is in them, that they have a picture of Christ in their lives, and we are to find that Christ in somebody, whoever they are. We look for the Christ in the other person. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. We thank you, O God, that your Son Jesus came to us, but also comes to us in everyday, ordinary people that we sometimes overlook. Help us to remember that you sent your Son to save us, and that Christ's presence rests on all of us, your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, boys and girls. Here's some candy. Now we invite the ushers to come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, may we see your face in our brothers and sisters of all ages. May we see your face in the little ones that worship with us. May we see your face in the elderly who are among us. May we see your face in those who go without and in need today. And may we, O God, bless these gifts for your purposes, for furthering your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name.
day when heaven was filled with his glory, one day when sin was as black as could be, that's when Jesus came down to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Well, one day they led him up Calvary's mountain, one day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffered in anguish, despised and rejected, bearing my sin, my Redeemer is he. Sunday the grave could hold them no longer. That day when the stone rolled away from the door, Jesus arose, over death he had conquered. He has ascended, he's alive evermore. One day when heaven was filled with his glory, one day when sin was as black as could be, that's when Jesus came down to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he.
Joseph. That was really great.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, choir. We have worship every Sunday with that music, don't we? Every Sunday we worship God through our praise and thanksgiving and through our music. Today I want us to shift gears and go to God in prayer. And so we quiet ourselves and our thoughts and in our hearts and let the presence of God surround you. And let God's voice speak to you. Hear God calling you, your name. And be open to what the Lord has to say to you today. And when you feel led, go to the throne of grace and lay down your prayers of praise and thanksgiving, of concern and prayer for those who are ill, a place in the world that needs God's healing touch, or a situation in life that you want to place before us. Grace and glory, you on the parts. So we may truly love one another as our brothers and sisters in you. And we're there and higher and about to do a new thing. You are, and you are creating something new in us. Great, O God, a heart loved by your children, heart and body in you. In the name of the Redeemer and Sustainer, may God, Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory forever. Amen.
If you all stand and look at the screen behind me. We'll sing Open the Heart, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
If you will join me in the reading of the scriptures this morning, found in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. The judgment of the nations. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne in his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. You gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will say, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on the left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then also will answer, Lord, when was it that I saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the ones of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the words of God prepared for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
A while back, I saw a copy of People magazine. It was probably in some doctor's office or another, some place where I was waiting around. I don't normally read People magazine. And there on page 11 was what I can only assume is a regular feature. It was called Royals Around the World. And the big picture was of the future King of England, Prince Charles, in a beige suit, twirling a handkerchief over his head while participating in a traditional dance on a state visit to Mexico. And then there were smaller pictures of his two sons, Prince Harry in fatigues, as we know he has served in his nation's army, Prince William and Princess Kate shaking the hands of firemen or some other rescue workers, and then there was a fashion shot of Princess Kate, and the caption of the shot mentions her baby bump. And is she pregnant again? Somehow I missed that. Maybe because it's none of my business. Little wonder that it is so difficult for us to get a handle on the meaning of Christ the King, which is what today is in our liturgical calendar, Christ the King. We have white pyramids today. It's the last Sunday of our Christian year. This is kind of like New Year's Eve, because next Sunday is the first Sunday in a new liturgical year, but this is Christ the King Sunday. But how difficult it is for us to know what it means to be a king when our only modern reference is these royals that we see doing what they do. Of course, you know, there is Burger King, and there's the King of Rock and Roll, and there's LeBron King James of basketball fame, but I don't think those really work for what we're trying to get at today. The understanding of our God and Savior as King. The Hebrew concept of kingship, in its most pure and prophetic form, had little to do with pomp or circumstance or the chivalry that we associate with, like, the great houses of Europe or the images we've picked up from various fairy tales about kings or the celebrity foolishness of the Windsors. Biblical kingship had to do with justice and righteousness and a compassionate God. This is shown to us by the fact that Israel's favorite image for the king was as a shepherd. Other nations that surrounded Israel at the time saw their kings as gods, as fierce, destructive, powerful figures bent on conquest and domination. Now, it's true that a shepherd, when protecting his flock, could be fierce. It was a much more domestic and nurturing image to consider God a shepherd. Because think about it. A shepherd's job is to protect the sheep from harm, to provide for their growth and happiness. A shepherd had to think of his or her own needs last and the needs of the herd first. This is the image that Israel chose for their king, the shepherd. In the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, the prophet shows us a God who is angry that Hebrew kings have not been good shepherds. The first part of our text, Yahweh says, since I can't trust the shepherds, I'm going to do it myself. And so we hear these words from the mouth of God, what a good king and a shepherd provides. I will make them lie down, he says. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. And then in these words, there's a shift, and God promises a new king, an earthly king, a shepherd who will do all these things in God's name and on God's behalf. And he says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. This is the promise that a descendant of King David will come to take care of God's kingdom and will be as a shepherd king over them. Now, in this very familiar gospel lesson that we hear today, Jesus tells a story, really it's a vision, of what will happen when the Son of Man, the descendant of King David, comes in his glory. The scenario ties into ideas that were popular about final judgment, one side being good, as we heard, and one side being bad. And Matthew turns this vision into an opportunity to teach right and wrong, into an opportunity to say, to give ethical teaching. Matthew is all about that in his gospel, the right from the wrong, the righteous from the unrighteous. And so he turns it around into a saying about who is good and who is not good. But at the same time, it's also a call to his congregation, the community that Matthew is preaching to the young Christian community, that we are to take on the role as shepherds for all God's people. That is the rightful role of the church, is as shepherd. Well, the vision, as you heard from Bob's reading, is of all people from all nations being gathered before the judgment seat. And the king will separate the people into sheep and sheep on one side and goats on the other. And then comes the explanation of how they got divided, who got to be a sheep and who got to be a goat. And it is important to note that the situations that he mentions, why people are sheep or why people are goats, none of them are at all religious. One neither has to believe in God nor believe in anything in particular about God in order to pass muster in these words. There is absolutely no mention of either theology or liturgy or any kind of religion whatsoever. These are realities that we see all around us and confront on a regular basis. We get hungry. We get thirsty. We know people who go without. We see homelessness and nakedness and sickness and imprisonment. These are things of ordinary, everyday living. We're not asked to solve these. We are invited to respond to the human need right before us. Feed people. Give them water. Give them shelter, give them clothing, provide decent health care, visit and console them in prison. The element of surprise, however, is the key to understanding this story. The sheep on the right are just as surprised to learn that they had done something for the king, something the king would reward. They had no idea that their actions would lead to the king giving them a reward. They were surprised to learn that they were being singled out for being good. They had thought they were simply being human and humane. The goats on the left, likewise, are surprised to learn that they had failed to do something for the king. Why had I seen the king in such conditions? Of course I would have taken care of it. But I didn't see the king. I just saw those people. The point is both ordinary and mystical. The ordinary is the argument that atheists make all the time. And I agree with them. They say, you don't have to believe in God to be moral. And isn't that true? You can be good without looking to gain a reward or avoid a punishment. And that's true too. That's exactly correct. And is truly one of the messages that Jesus is trying to make here. Reward and punishment as a motivation for goodness is a dead-end street. We end up focused not on the other, who we're supposed to be doing good for, but we end up focused on ourselves and wondering if we're being good enough. We're looking at our neighbor to see if they're being good enough, if we've done enough to deserve a reward. But Jesus is saying, forget yourself. Focus on doing what you can for another. Don't think about yourself. Don't make it about you. It's not about you. It's about what you can do for the others whose face we see as Christ. Here's the mystical part, the religious part. We're called and empowered to do these things for because of the church. It reminds us that as the church, we are what? The body of Christ. We as the church, we are the activity of God. We are the agency of God in the world. We are the ones today who fulfill the role of shepherd, of king to all the nations, to all those who are gathered in front of him. They are Christ to us, the faces of our brothers and sisters, the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless stranger, the naked ones, the sick and suffering, those in prison, all of them are Christ, and our call is to respond to their need with active love and simple compassion, because the King would want it that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Andy, lead us in our closing hymn, He Has Made Me Glad.
If you'd stand and look through the screen behind me, we'll sing, He Has Made Me Glad.
Thank you.
ladies who have pulled together all of our different covered dishes and the turkey and all of that that we are going to share in a Thanksgiving meal momentarily. These ladies have asked if I would offer the blessing as we leave this place. And I hope all of you are planning to stay because I think there's going to be enough food. I've taken a look out there and there is lots of food. And we have so much to be thankful for today. We live in a free country. We can worship our God freely. We praise God for the blessings of life that we receive each and every day. And so today is the day that we will rejoice and give thanks to God for all God's good gifts. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, you have given us everything that we have and are, and we give ourselves back to you. All that we have is from you, O God. Make us to be your thankful people in this community of faith, loving one another, supporting one another, and sending out into the world the message of your love for the whole world. All of us you have created and called it good. And so we thank you, O God, today, and ask that you bless the food that we share. In your holy name we pray.